there's this picture of the in the heavenlies where that prophet is standing before God, and Satan is there accusing him and saying, "This guy is guilty."
Hmm.
And I picture myself being that guy. He's like, "Okay, well, it's actually true. I'm guilty. Mm-hmm. If I'm not guilty of this particular thing, I'm certainly guilty of a lot of other stuff."
Yeah.
And so that's the difference between me and Jesus. Or, well, that's one of the many. But one of the differences is Jesus knew he was actually not guilty of anything. So when the devil accused Jesus, he didn't have this leverage that he has with me.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of Going. My name is Ben, or Ban, depending on where you live in this lovely country. And I was once reluctant to do cross-cultural work. Now I am much less reluctant on the other end of the scale. And I got my good friend Randy here.
And I'm Randy, or Randall, depending on where you live in the world. And I'm a former atheist. And I currently lead a little band of cross-cultural workers called SIM USA.
Hmm. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I had a good Thanksgiving. We originally planned to fly to Washington State and go stay at the little cabin that I built with my family. Mm-hmm. And my daughter was going to be there. It was going to be lovely. And then 48 hours before we were going to leave, the governor of Washington, he laid down the law. He said, if you come here, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks before you can see anyone.
It's quite a long time.
Yeah, and my daughter, she's currently the head leader at a sort of apartment complex for 62 and older folks. And so if we went there, she's especially restricted, and it would put her in a conflicted position. So we, like at the last minute, we decided, nope, we're having a staycation. So that's what
staycation.
It was. Staycation. So I had my birthday and then Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And then a week and a half worth of building our deck.
Mm. Were you tempted to eat something unhealthy on any one of those days?
Yeah, almost every day. You know, I love pumpkin pie with whipped cream. So, you know, Thursday was Thanksgiving, and there's been leftover pumpkin pie with whipped cream every day. And it's just delightful. But, you know, I really struggled with obesity, with gluttony. So far, the only day I had pumpkin pie was on Thanksgiving proper. But my wife, being sensitive to my crazy diet, on my birthday, instead of making me a birthday cake, she went down to Costco and she got these two massive 14-ounce steaks of ahi tuna.
High protein.
Yeah. So I sat down and I had 14 ounces of ahi tuna with a potato, and it was just the most delightful birthday meal ever.
That's almost a pound, I think.
It is. Pretty close. Yeah, it was dang close. I think I could have done a pound if it would have been free that way, but I didn't have the motivation.
I remember in Central Asia, we were just finishing up a nice little team session, and it was time for lunch, and everybody was sitting around chatting. And I don't know what it was. Something snapped in your brain. I guess you were hangry, as they say, and you just took off walking. And everyone's like, oh, I guess it's time for us to go to lunch. And so you were probably 100 yards ahead of us, and we all were following. Like, I guess Randy's really hungry.
Yeah. My ability to be a godly human being seems to rapidly decrease when my blood sugar level drops. And the most kind thing I can do is walk away.
Did you feel guilty about that?
That's a good question. I was definitely tempted to act in a ungodly manner. And then I got up and walked away. I might have felt guilty. I don't know. After you guys told me about it, I probably felt guilty. But hey, a man's got to do what a man's got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like that too sometimes when I get hungry. Speaking of tempting, should we feel guilty when we're tempted?
Yeah, it's a good question, because if I take off the should and I say, and if I change your question to, Randy, do you feel guilty when you're tempted? The answer is oftentimes, yes, I do feel guilty when I'm tempted. Like the fact that I'm even drawn to eat too much or too fast, or the fact that I'm drawn to things I shouldn't do, sometimes makes me feel like I should be better than this.
Yeah.
Like I'm not good enough. But it seems like there are times when I'm thinking of Jesus in particular. You know, we chose this speaking of tempting based on Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led around in the wilderness by the Spirit for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And so we happen to know Jesus was never sinful. And so I don't think it would ever be quite suitable for Jesus to feel guilty. So when he was tempted, it's clear that it wouldn't make sense for him to feel guilty. Now, he might have felt guilty just like me, because I don't know. I don't know to what extent God, I don't know what his feelings were, but I do know it wouldn't be good for him to feel guilty, because he wasn't guilty.
Yeah.
And so clearly there is a way to be tempted that does not imply guilt. And for me, when I'm tempted, I oftentimes feel guilty just for being tempted. How about you?
Yeah. I do. And it's also the same guilt, though, that brings me to some repentance. So sometimes I feel guilty and I shouldn't feel guilty. And then sometimes I feel guilty and I should feel guilty. I do struggle to distinguish, like, between this temptation that I just felt, was it just a temptation that I've had victory over, or was it a temptation that I went a little bit too far with my mind or my thinking, and I've had to step back, but I still feel guilty. Often, I mean, it's hard to know sometimes for me. Sometimes it's clear, but.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we've got three enemies of sorts: the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yeah.
And the devil masquerades as an angel of light. So, so I suppose our ally, the Holy Spirit, when he brings conviction on us of things that we've done.
Yeah.
I guess when Satan comes to us and lies about us or tempts us or tries to make us feel guilty when we shouldn't, I suppose he pretends like, I suppose it's pretending like the Spirit.
Yeah.
So in this particular case, we're seeing Jesus full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, being tempted by the devil.
Yeah. Why would God send his son into such a precarious situation?
These why questions,
I know,
are always scary, because it doesn't actually tell us.
I've got a whole list.
But let's think about what alternatives God had.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so God either could lead him by the Spirit in the wilderness where the Satan was going to tempt him, or he could protect him.
Yeah, he could lead him to a safe place.
He could just not let him be tempted ever.
Yeah.
And so if God would have chosen total protection, how would have things been different?
I think I have to think of this in terms of myself, and I'm trying to think of a situation or like an instance where I was not tempted. So it's like maybe my most temptation is in a desolate place, maybe a similar place to where Jesus was led to. But I'm also thinking, even when I'm in a pretty safe and comfortable place, I'm tempted as well.
All right. So let me put pause on what you just said and go back to Jesus's life, and then we'll come back to that.
Okay.
So in Jesus's life, if God would have totally protected Jesus so that he was never tempted, would he have still been qualified to be our great high priest?
I definitely don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think that part of his qualification was that he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin.
Yeah.
So God, in principle, had an alternative that he could just protect Jesus from temptation.
Yeah.
But his purposes wouldn't be played out that way. A part of his purpose for Jesus was that he would be tempted in every way as we are, but yet without sin.
Hmm.
So you say, why would God do this? I say, well, I'm not quite comfortable answering that question, but what alternative did God have? And to that I say, well, he could just protect him. And I think clearly I don't like the way that one plays out.
No, it wouldn't be the same Jesus we need to follow.
Yeah. Okay. So now,
fascinating.
In the case of Jesus, it was for God's glory that the Spirit led him into the wilderness where he would be tempted.
Yeah.
And he didn't eat for 40 days, and he was hangry, I think it says.
I think that's the translation.
It says, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he was hangry. And then the devil said to them, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. So the devil chose the point of weakness as the entering point for the temptation.
What's that weakness? Identity? I haven't thought about that.
I was thinking it was hungry. I think in hangry, but...
his weakness was... I'm thinking, though, like, yeah, the circumstances, he's hungry.
Maybe vulnerability. I said weakness, okay. But... the devil came to his point of vulnerability, like at this particular time.
Yeah.
Jesus hadn't had nothing to eat for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil comes to him and says, hey, if you're the Son of God, just tell this stone to become bread.
Yeah, if you're the Son of God.
So it's like, if you really have the authority that God tells you have, Just tell the stone to become bread and you'll be there. Because it says here, I didn't notice this until this time through when we were talking through the last few days, but it says he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he was hungry. So the days of not eating are over at this point.
Yeah.
And so then the devil comes to him and says, hey, the days of not eating are over. He didn't say that part.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, hey, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. So it's not obvious that he's violating his fasting, right?
Mm-hmm. It's not super obvious. I'd always assumed it was during his fasting period.
I did too, but then this time I read it and it says, and when they
it's
had
not
ended.
So obvious.
Yeah. And when they had ended, he was hungry. And then the devil comes to him and says, hey, if you're the Son of God, just tell this stone to become bread.
Yeah, it seems like the perfect time to eat.
And if it's the perfect time to eat, it's the perfect time to just use your miracles, use your power to create the food that's good.
Yeah, get out of this quickly. End it.
So back to yours now. I'm trying to remember. I promised you that I was coming back to your comment, but I just wanted to dwell a little bit more on Jesus's.
Yeah, what was I saying?
You were saying that your strongest temptation came in the wilderness, similar to Jesus.
Oh, I think I remember. I guess people listening will be like, duh, you just said this. When I'm in a place of difficulty in a circumstance, right, it's my natural inclination to quickly solve the problem. So if I'm bored, okay, if the circumstance is boredom, then to quickly solve the problem by flicking through a ton of stuff online, news articles or something, to relieve my boredom instead of just being present with someone. Or if my circumstance is, you know, isolation on the field, it might be to look at things online I shouldn't, right? To look up pornography. Or it might be to isolate myself from relationships. So I've got this place, if I'm full of the Spirit and the Lord's, you know, called me to a location, and then I'm tempted in that type of space. That's one area. The other is a safe space. So if I'm in a very comfortable situation, I can't think of a time where I've also not been tempted. And maybe there are varying degrees of temptation, but yeah, for me, to me, there is no safe space away from temptation, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I think that makes sense. I'm just processing what you're saying. So
yep.
As a cross-cultural worker, mm-hmm. you have a set of temptations wherever you were at before you left.
Mm-hmm.
And you were there experiencing those temptations, mm-hmm. and you sort of learned the temptations you were aware of. You learned to fight them. And then below the surface, there was a whole nother layer of temptations that were happening that you were not even aware of.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't say that, but that's absolutely true.
And
so I'm glad you said it.
And then now you go to a new environment that's mm-hmm. that's totally different, and there's new vulnerabilities that you were not previously aware of,
or yeah, for sure.
there was circumstances that awaken old vulnerabilities that you haven't yet learned to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your new context, it's kind of like you've been fasting for 40 days and you're hungry, and then Satan can come to you and he can go to that vulnerability that you have and attack it. Because you're relatively unprotected, like Jesus was in this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this is, I'm going to say what's true for me as if it's true for you.
Sure.
So for me, the first attack that Satan has is to reveal to me the temptation, like, hey, if you're the Son of God, can't you make this bread?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second attack is to inspire guilty feelings for noticing the first attack.
Mm.
So there's this line of defenses like, you should be better than this.
That's right. Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to my mind is like, gosh, I was full of the Spirit. I shouldn't be dealing with this.
And so it's like the 1-2 punch is about vulnerability, boom, you're hungry. And then the number two punch is maybe something like, you should be different. You shouldn't be feeling this way. You shouldn't yeah. be dealing with this. And so for me, that second one is kind of like he's masquerading as an angel of light, as the Holy Spirit. He's masquerading as, boy, now I've inspired a temptation, and now the second one is I'm inspiring false guilt that you ought to be better than this, because that guilt, the only hope I have for this accusation is the blood of Jesus. I don't even know if it's true or not half the time. And so all I can do is, like, by grace, it's like, okay, Father, I was definitely tempted towards this. And I definitely feel guilty.
Uh-huh.
And my only hope, I don't even know if I'm guilty, but my only hope here is that somehow the blood of Jesus is adequate. I'm definitely don't want to do that. And I definitely don't want to walk around feeling guilty. So if this guilt is from the devil,
mm-hmm.
then please just take it away. If this is from the Holy Spirit, then I repent. I'm sorry. The blood of Jesus died to pay for things just like this, but I refuse mm-hmm. to walk around feeling guilty because that's not from you.
Yeah, I'm interested in this false guilt. Maybe we need a different label. I mean, the only other thing I can think of would be shame, but what is it about it? And maybe you can describe it better than me. What is it about it that causes, like, here's a better one. What is the actual response? Should we believe the lie or the false guilt, or the shame, whatever that lie is, what is our path forward in response if we were to believe it?
So for me, what happens is if I feel guilty for being tempted and I buy into that, and I'm not sure whether I can repent or not, right? So if this is from the Holy Spirit, then if I repent and call him the devil, then I'm afraid that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which is bad news. And so I don't want to take the Holy Spirit and say, depart from me, Satan. And then if it really is the devil and I say, oh, that conviction is from God, then maybe that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit too. I don't know. So I wind up in this tension where my only answer is, I know for sure if I was to act on that, that would be sin.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I've already dwelt on it longer than I should. I don't know. I don't know whether it's sin or not. So for me, I think one of the most comforting things, this is an Old Testament prophet. I don't know. It's one of those small prophets back there. I can't remember which one. I think it starts with a Z. But there's this picture of in the heavenlies where that prophet is standing before God, and Satan is there accusing him and saying, this guy is guilty.
Hmm.
And I picture myself being that guy. It's like, okay, well, it's actually true. I'm guilty. Mm-hmm. If I'm not guilty of this particular thing, I'm certainly guilty of a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference between me and Jesus. Well, that's one of the many. But one of the differences is Jesus knew he was actually not guilty of anything. So when the devil accused Jesus, he didn't have this leverage that he has with me.
Hmm.
In my case, I actually am guilty of a lot of stuff that I don't even know about.
Yeah.
So for me, that what God did in that case is he said, hey, Satan. He didn't say, Satan, you're wrong. He's not actually guilty. He said, hey, I'm going to touch his lip with these coals. I'm going to cleanse him. So this guy had no defense for himself.
Mm-hmm.
His only defense was God's holiness. Or he had none, right? Standing there.
Is this Isaiah? Are you talking about Isaiah standing before the throne?
No, that's a different one. That's Isaiah 6. This is a different one. It's a Z prophet. Anyway.
Yeah. One of those. That's cool, though.
But it's a good story. You should check it out.
Yeah.
But
I'll Google it.
in any case, that guy was standing there with dirty rags, just like I have.
Yeah.
And then Satan come and said to God, hey, look, he's guilty. And God, mm-hmm. and he's there, he's being accused, he's being rightly accused because he's got a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then God gives him his clean robes and declares him clean. And that's the way I roll, is God, this Satan accurately accuses me before God, and then God gives me the cleanness that I need.
Hmm. How do you think the Father saw his son? Because I'm thinking right now of what you just said is like, how does God see you during this temptation? Like, what does he think about you? What does he genuinely think about you in some ways suffering or going through this temptation? And I wonder what he thought. We know what he thought about him probably in the end.
That's interesting. So in Jesus's case, a part of him being able to carry out his role involved being tempted. So without temptation, he couldn't be the savior of the world.
That's right.
And I guess the same is true for me. I guess that my role here in this world, I cannot carry out without being tempted. The temptation is a part of what I need to endure in this world in order to carry out the role that God has for me. So I would think that as the Father saw Jesus being tempted by Satan, he probably thought, dang. Oh, no. I mean.
Maybe.
I don't know. But he saw it happening, and he loved his son.
Yeah.
And he recognized the situation that his son was in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it would be the same with me. And so with the first temptation that Satan brings me, which is my hunger, coming to my vulnerability, hunger. Mm-hmm. Hunger goes to hangry. Hangry goes to rudeness or whatever kind of mm-hmm. talk that I shouldn't mm-hmm. have, that there's this temptation. I guess the Father is looking at me and he's thinking similar to what he thought about Jesus. And then at some point, the second punch, which is, oh, you shouldn't feel this way. That's just another temptation, right? It's like the first one is I'm tempted. And then the second one, I feel guilty about being tempted. Like I ought not be tempted. That's the second gut punch. And then with that one, I think he feels the same. And then I think if at that point I say, hey, look, the second one where I'm feeling guilty, I'm not clear if this is Satan or the Holy Spirit. I don't actually know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that I want to turn from the temptation and I want to be freed from the guilt.
Yeah, that seems like a good place to be.
Right now, if this is Satan, then God, please just make the guilt go away. And if this is the Holy Spirit, then put the blood of Jesus and cleanse me in accordance with your promise that I might be free from all sin again. But one way or the other, I'm not going to walk in this guilt. I'm sure that's not what you have for me.
Yeah, I can imagine him thinking, like at the first punch, you know, there's going to be a lie. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. The second one is like, maybe he's screaming, seriously, don't believe that lie. That's not who you are. That's not what I did for you. That's not it. And by the third, it's like in the confusion, it's like, okay, God, I don't know if it's from you, if it's from the enemy. I think at that point, he's probably like, whew, good. That's okay. That's okay that you don't know, because now I can remind you of what I've done. Seems like a good place.
Yeah. So so as we go back and circle back to think through people that are going to go to serve Jesus, to make his goodness known in places where people have never heard, do you think they're going to experience temptation that is new and different and stronger than what they've had before?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fact. I think a lot of it, at least for me, just speaking from experience, it's surrounded identity. So it's like, who I was here was kind of known. So there was a safe feeling that I had in my identity. But overseas, for some reason, everything about who I was kind of gets exposed in a different light. And I find myself thinking, oh, what am I doing here? Why am I here? Who am I again? And to me, that's a special place of vulnerability. Openness to believing all sorts of just garbage.
You think people should just stay home to avoid the possibility that they might be caused
sure
to sin?
No, I think that's the... Yeah, how do you convince... Well, I guess the Spirit has to lead people to hard places, but there is something special about coming away from it. I mean, even if someone like me, who's... I feel like I've been led by the Spirit to a hard place. I've had various successes with overcoming temptation and plenty of failures in that hard place. I still walk away feeling like I'm more empowered by the Spirit. I feel I have more power in his name, and I feel like I better know myself, definitely know the grace of God. And I think more importantly, I think that people that I knew who I was serving, and I think this goes along with just being honest with them, like what type of temptation and, you know, what am I actually going through, being real with people that I'm serving. I think that was especially helpful and human, that I wasn't some better than everybody else coming over here kind of person, that they got to see someone who struggled. And they felt like I wasn't, you know, better than them.
I wish we had another half hour, because you just provoked me to think a fresh thought that I'm not going to unpack. But the idea that the second temptation I mentioned, which is to deny that I'm tempted, causes us to live a lie.
Yeah, it does.
Not only before God and in ourselves, but with others. And so And as I think back to ministry across cultures, confessing that you're tempted was a powerful, powerful way that I saw you reaching the hearts of Muslim people, that that just confessing that I'm tempted to do what I ought not do, and I'm struggling against that temptation in faith, was a powerful testimony. Father, we thank you for our time together here. We are grateful that you did not put Jesus in a bubble where he couldn't be tempted, but instead you, through your Spirit, led him into the wilderness with 40 days of fasting that made him vulnerable and allowed him to be tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. We pray, Father, that you'd be drawing people to go and demonstrate this goodness across cultures. And we pray, Father, that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that he has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where he is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.